I play Joseph in the live nativity, the stepfather to the Messiah. Some rather big shoes to fill, or sandals, as it may be. As a method actor, I have to experience what the character experienced, you know, in order to play the role. It takes a lot of effort, so I do what I can to get my body in shape. Sometimes on my lunch break, I'll just go into Joseph position. So I'm thinking of renting a donkey.
No,
look, we would just ride it, okay?
No, look, just
around town, okay? I just want to get a feel for what Joseph must have gone
through. I'm not going to ride a donkey through town.
Babe, look, Brando shadowed gangsters, okay? Winona stole a purse. Larry actually was a cable guy. I need this, okay? I need to know what it was like to serve the Mother of God.
You want to know what it was like to serve? Then serve me by setting the table.
Throughout the years, I have adopted the lifestyle of many notable characters. I even played Judas in our church's gospel musical rendition of Happy Feet. I actually wrote that one. It's called Happy Feet Washing.
Lord, why? Why would you put me through this? Do you understand, God? This is difficult. The people around town, they are talking. They're asking why I would marry a woman who's bearing another man's child. What did I do, Lord?
God love him. But he sounds like the guy from The Fiddler on the Roof.
Why, God?
She said that? I sound nothing like Tevye. I played Tevye in high school. I think I'd know the difference. She sounds like Fran Drescher. Not the voice, but the...
And he's starting to scare the children.
Dad, I don't want to do this again.
Come on, buddy. Just from the top. The part about the inn. No room. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, sir, but there's no room in the inn for you.
What?! You're telling me that my pregnant wife and me, you're going to leave us out in the streets? We may die out there. Is that what you want to happen? Is that...
But, buddy?
He's fine. He's fine.
This is Travis, my son. He will be playing the role of Jesus. Even larger sandals to fill. Figuratively. He has very, very small feet. It is a live nativity, so we are on our feet for 5 hours each night, the 7 days leading up to Christmas. It's not so much of a physical challenge for me. I played sports in high school. It's more of a spiritual challenge.
Really? Why?
It just is.
Where's my baby Jesus? Because Daddy's ready for the show.
What's wrong?
I couldn't do it.
What? What are you talking about?
I couldn't give up my son.
Honey, they're counting on you.
No, if I were God, I couldn't give up my boy. The world would be out of luck.
Good morning and welcome to Calendar Bay Church Online. I'm Pastor John Intoff. Thanks so much for joining us during this Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. and enjoying the season that we're in, and praying God richly blesses you during this time. We are offering two services right now at Calendar Bay Church. One is our in-person service, and the other is our online service, which you are a part of right now. And if you would like to be a part of our in-person service, you have to register for that. So you have to go to calendarbaychurch.ca and register there. And you also will be asked a few questions, and a mask is required to stay within the guidelines set up by the North Bay Parry Sound Health Unit. And so we hope that you're able to either join us online or in person. And so those options are both available to you. Well, we also want to say thank you to each one of you for your generous support of Calendar Bay Church, particularly during these trying days. It is good to know that God has used his people to be able to support our ministry. And so there are a couple different ways that you can give to our ministry. Number one is by going online, and you can safely and securely give by going to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca, and you just click on the About tab. And it'll tell you the ways to give, and you just click on that, and you can get it all set up. And I think once you set it up once, it's good to go. So thank you again that you can support in this way. Now, the other way is if you don't like the technology side of thing and you just like to send in a gift, well, you can do that by mailing it to our mailing address, which is Calendar Bay Church, Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. That's Box 218, Calendar, Ontario, P0H1H0. And again, thank you for your support. We have a youth group that's running on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We join together with South Shore and enjoy our youth ministry. So if you're in grade 6 to 12 and you'd like to be a part of that, just come on out Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here at Calendar Bay Church. Well, our Living Nativity is coming up very quickly, and it's going to be a great time. The dates for that are December 19 and 20. It's going to be two showings on each of those days, 5 and 7 o'clock. And so if you would like to come to that, you do have to pre-register by going to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca, and you can just sign up for the one that you want. Make sure you do that quickly. Some of the spots are already filling up. And so if you have a specific time that you want, make sure that you do it quickly so that you can get the spots that you want. The other service that's coming up very quickly is our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And if you would like to be a part of that, again, you have to go online to register. There's going to be two times for that as well, 6 and 7:30. And so if you have a preferable time, I would suggest, again, that you register as quickly as possible to make sure that you reserve the time that you want. It's going to be a great time of music and reflection, and so I would encourage you to make that a part of your Christmas schedule. Well, last week we lit the candle of hope, and this week, as we gather together, it is the candle of peace. And we're thankful to God for the peace that he gives. The Word of God talks about that he gives us a peace that goes beyond circumstance, and that the peace of God can reign in our lives. And so let's pray that God would give us his peace during this Christmas season. Let's join in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the peace that you give, that through the your sacrifice on the cross, you gave peace to us and in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you that despite our circumstances and whatever we go through, we can experience the peace of God. And as we light this candle, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's light the candle of peace together. Well, we want to worship the Lord this morning and sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And it talks about peace on earth and mercy mild. And let's celebrate the peace that we have, not only in this Christmas season, but throughout the whole year. Let's sing together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Over the Christmas season, we're going to be looking at the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. Now, the series that we had been working through, The Life You've Always Wanted, we're going to put that on hold until 2021. Wow. As we're going to be looking into a new year, And going to be starting off the year, finishing off that series, looking at foundational disciplines that we can implement in our lives as we want, as we enter into a new year, to establish good foundations in our lives. And we're also going to be celebrating communion following the message this morning. And so if you haven't got that prepared, I would encourage you just to be able to grab some juice and some bread and be prepared as we celebrate around the Lord's table following the message today. And as I mentioned, we're looking at the gifts of the Magi, or the gifts of the wise men. You know, it is really quite interesting. This story is found in Matthew chapter 2. And in Matthew chapter 2, it records the interaction of Jesus with the Magi, or the wise men. And the background of this story is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the time of King Herod. So King Herod is on the throne, and the wise men actually at one point go to King Herod because they're thinking that he would be really helpful in helping them discover where this king. Well, where else would you go but to the palace in order to be able to find this king? And so this is where they enter into the story, is that King Herod is on the throne. And so we don't know exactly where they came from. All we know is that they came from quite a distance in order to be able to get there. So it seems that there's a 2-year time frame that we're looking, that it took for them to travel from point A, wherever that was, to point B, which was finding Jesus. And so whoever they were and wherever they came from, it was from quite a distance. Now, the question we have to ask is, well, how many wise men were there? And the obvious answer, and the traditional answer, is that there was 3 of them. But we really don't know that. We do know that there was 3 gifts. And so that's where the assumption that there was, we 3 kings of Orient are, you know, that idea of 3 comes from the fact that there were 3 gifts. And so there was an assumption, 3 gifts, 3 wise men. But there really is no reference in Scripture that tells us that there was 3 of them. And so we're really not sure how many of them there were. But we do know that they were educated, and by the gifts that they were wealthy, and that they were excited to see the newborn king. And so that they were educated, wealthy, and they were excited in order to be able to see this king that was prophesied. And so in Matthew 2:11, it talks about the gifts that they brought. And so this is what it says in Matthew 2:11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so the 3 gifts that they give are gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I don't know what it was like in biblical times, but as far as, living in modern times, when you think of baby gifts, you know, you think of diapers, you think of strollers, you think of baby seats and toys and wipes and soothers and maybe even like one of those snot, whatever. Different ideas as far as that's what we think of. Maybe a stuffed animal. Those are the kind of things that we think of as far as gifts go. And I can't imagine that even in Jesus' time frame, the gifts that were brought to this child were not typical baby type of things. I'm not sure in the first century what would have been considered a regular, but I would have assumed that it would probably be clothes, some supplies, whatever they would need. But these seem very atypical as far as it goes. And so the gifts, 3 things about them. One was that they were valuable. These were gifts that were considered of great value. sometimes you can tell the gift by you know, the thought and the price tag that goes along with it. These ones had a significant price tag. They were also very practical. Now, what do we mean by practical? They were, all could be used as currency in that time frame. So they were practical in the sense that they were, they would have been able to trade these commodities in different places. And so the gold, obviously, would be of great value. But frankincense and myrrh, again, were both products that could easily be traded, and they had very significant value. We also find out that these gifts had deeply spiritual meanings. So they are not simply, you know, just pull it out of a hat, you know, random kind of thing. They are very spiritually loaded as far as the imagery that goes behind them. And so they have a very deep spiritual meaning. And that's what we want to look at over the next number of weeks when we talk about the gifts of the Magi, is what was the symbolic and spiritual meaning behind the gift itself. And so today we want to talk about frankincense. Now, frankincense was an oil that possessed medical properties. And so it had some medical things that it would be helpful with, and so it was considered to be medicinal. It was also, you know, we talk about gold and the value of gold, and we know how much gold is. In this time frame, frankincense would have had more street value than gold itself. And so you see, again, that whole idea of value. In that time frame, frankincense was a very important commodity. Now, the other thing that we find is that priests would use frankincense during the sacrifices to burn the incense that would then make the smoke that would arise to heaven, symbolizing the prayers of the people rising in faith of God. And this is where it starts to get very interesting. So frankincense has a spiritual implication that it was a part of the sacrifices that would lift smoke up in order to be able to bring a scent to it so that it would, and it represented the prayers of God's people arising from it. And so the high priest was the one who would do that part of the process of the frankincense with the sacrifice in order to be able. And so we begin to see that the symbolism behind the frankincense is a part of Jesus' role as the high priest. Now, sometimes the idea of priests is a little bit confusing. And so we want to look at what it meant to be a priest in Jesus' time frame. So when we talk about Jesus being our high priest, it's fitting into the category of was from Jewish history. And so we want to try to understand it from that perspective. And so when we look at the high priest, the high priest had one primary role, and that was to be the representative of the people before God. And so here you had one individual who was the high priest, and they were the representative of the people before God. And so they were the only ones that had access to God in that way. And so that role was split into two parts. It had two functions that went along with that role. The first one was that the high priest made sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. And so the only way that people's sins would be forgiven would be through this high priest. And the other was that he prayed prayers on behalf of the people to God, representing the people of God. And so he was the one that brought the prayers of God's people to God. And so we see the high priest's significant role within the synagogue and what he did. And what we find is that Jesus himself takes on the role of being our high priest. Since the beginning of time, from the creation story, and we seem to be jumping back to the creation story a fair amount, from the very beginning, there seem to be two primary factors that are at work. One is the holiness of God, that God is holy, and that God is holy in all that he does. And the other one is the sinfulness of mankind, that man has fallen from his right position with God, and that was through the sinful things that he had done. And so here we have these two contrary things that need to be brought back in together. And so we find that if we misunderstand the holiness of God, the fact that God is holy, that would mean that we would have a very casual approach to the concept of sin. And actually, you see this in our modern day society, that society doesn't really have a concept of the holiness of God, and so there is a general sense of casualness towards sin. You know, even calling it that, would probably, you can't call me a sinner, and you can't label me in that way, and it's just a mistake, it's not really any big deal. And so you can see that this is playing out in our own society. The other thing that we find is if we misunderstand the sinfulness of mankind, if it's all just light and flippant and everybody makes mistakes, boys will be boys, blah, 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 then you have really no need for a holy God in your life. And so this is why the concept of holiness and understanding our sinful nature is important. And particularly in light of the Christmas story. And just to kind of show you that, I just wanted to read you some thoughts as we look at the Old Testament covenant. You know, they had a way that the high priest that was involved was to bring about the forgiveness of sins to people. And so listen to what these are some thoughts here on this topic. The high priest in the Old Testament, one time a year, would make a sacrifice as a temporary payment for the sins of the people. It was known as the Day of Atonement, or, and you probably are familiar with this, Yom Kippur. And the priest would sacrifice an innocent animal and go into the tabernacle behind the veil, the place that was known as the Holy of Holies. And the priest would then light the frankincense. There's the frankincense illustration. And the incense would let smoke rise, burning to heaven, representing the cries of the people for mercy. And then the priest would take the blood of the innocent animal and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And this would symbolize the death of an innocent one in place of the guilty ones as a payment for our sins. And then what would happen is that a goat would be released in order to be, and it was called the scapegoat, because the goat was to represent the sins of the people being taken away. And so he would be released, and they would drive the goat into the wilderness, and this would then symbolize the sins have been separated from the people of God. And so you can see something from this right away, is that you see that God is dealing with the sinfulness of mankind in a rather extreme fashion. It involved blood. It involved the sacrifice and killing of an animal. It involved the releasing of an animal, which basically was releasing a goat into the wild, which was probably a death sentence for that goat. And what we have to understand is that God is just, completely just. he must punish sin, but God is not only just, he is also merciful. And here's the beauty of what God does. The sacrifice satisfies God's justice and at the same time extends mercy. It is the price that is paid, but someone else pays that price for the forgiveness of sins. So God's holiness, his justice is satisfied, and yet he extends mercy to the people that he loves so much. This was a temporary covering under the old covenant, but we are no longer. And so you can see the symbolism of what is taking place here. Jesus takes all those things on. Then comes Jesus on the scene. And so the old covenant that took care of people's sin and sins and covered them temporarily, that was now taken on by Jesus. And listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, going from verses 8 to 14, he says this, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, 'Here I am, I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first and establishes the second, and by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And so what this passage of Scripture is saying is that Jesus came to fulfill the role as our high priest. God's will was that we would be holy as he is holy. But we needed to have things dealt with. And so Jesus, through his sacrifice on the cross, the innocent for the not innocent, for the guilty, makes us into a right relationship with him. And so through Jesus' work on the cross, we can be declared holy. And so here we have Jesus fulfilling the role of the high priest. And it says that he did it once for all time. And he talks about in that passage of Scripture about how the priest had to do it again and again and again and again and again and again. Because it was a temporary covering for our sins, and it needed to be repeated over and over again. And so here we have Jesus fulfilling the role as the high priest, but when he does it, when he sacrificed himself on the cross, he did it once for all time. And so it doesn't need to be repeated again, because he has done it not only for the moment, covered our sins, he has done it for all time. And so here we have Jesus taking on the role of the high priest. And then it goes on and it says this in Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. He says this, and it's probably a little small on the screen there, but this is again telling us about Jesus' role as the high priest. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And so this passage of Scripture continues the illustration of Jesus being our high priest. And that we have a high priest who's not just off somewhere else doing these religious practices, that he's been here and he understands that Jesus came to this earth and he lived a life as a human being so that he could have an understanding and a comprehension of us. It says in Scripture that Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so he took on the role of the high priest, and he is one who understands. Jesus knows what you're experiencing and what you're going through. He endured so many things while he was here on this planet. And Jesus takes on this role to be our high priest, but he is a high priest who understands. It says that he also, when because he is the high priest became the person that he was the only one in the old covenant that had access to God. He was the only one. But in this passage of Scripture, it tells us that Jesus, our high priest, opens the door. And we now have direct access to God ourselves. And it says that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. And so Jesus comes as our high priest, and he opens the door so that we, who have been declared holy because of the work of Christ, now have direct access to God ourselves. And it also tells us that he gives us grace in our time of need. And so every day that you are alive, God is going to give you grace for each day. Grace in your time of need. Whatever you need to be able to get through this day, God is going to give it to you. And so let's give thanks to God. He gives us access to God. He gives us grace in time of need. And he is a wonderful high priest who understands everything that we are going through. But Jesus also remains our high priest. You know, he takes on the role and the responsibility of the other function of the priest, which was he would stand and pray for the people on their behalf. And the Word of God tells us that Jesus is interceding for us, that he is standing in the presence of God, and he is interceding for us. So we have a high priest who has access to God, which we have direct access to God, but he is praying for us. What an amazing thought. That when Jesus came to be our high priest, he is now in the role of praying and standing in the gap for us. I wouldn't want to have anybody else better to pray for me than Jesus himself. You know, that's an amazing thought. That Jesus is praying for you because he's your high priest. And so as we look at this frankincense is a reminder of the fact that Jesus is our high priest. And because he is our high priest, he has taken the role of the sacrifices and dealt with all this, that if anybody believes in Jesus and receives from him, he is given the right to become the children of God. And so all we have to do, and so I would encourage you, if you've never, ever made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, that you would come to him. Because the Word of God tells us that without holiness, we can't please God. And the only way that we can get holiness is through the acceptance of the work of Jesus on the cross. Because he dealt with it all. And so because of that, we can step into a relationship with God where we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Where we have grace in our time of need. And so we celebrate the fact that we have a beautiful and loving God who sent us his son to take on the role to be our high priest so that we could be in a right relationship with him. And this Christmas season, let's remind ourselves again of the great gift that was given to us. The Apostle Paul calls it the indescribable gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. And the Magi brought their gift, which was a symbol to remind us of the immense greatness of this gift. Jesus is our high priest. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our high priest, that you took on that dual function, that you were the one who sacrificed himself so that we could be in a right relationship with you. And because of that, we have a high priest who understands us, who now we have direct access to God himself, and we have grace in our time of need. And so, Father, we thank you for the preciousness of that gift. And thank you that still today you serve as our high priest, and you stand before God and you pray for us. It is amazing to know that you each day pray for us, that we would be strong, that we would be faithful, and that we would become all that you would desire us to be. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought it would be appropriate that as we celebrate the fact that Jesus is our high priest, that we would partake together in the Lord's Supper as we remember the sacrifice that Jesus did, which really took on the role of being our high priest, being the great sacrifice that dealt with our sins once and for all. And so Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. And every time you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." And so today we celebrate the fact that Jesus is our sacrifice that brought us the forgiveness of sins. And so let's eat together with thanksgiving. Jesus also, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the cup. He said, "This cup represents the new covenant that is in my blood. And every time you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." And so Jesus, on the cross, took our sins and he took our punishment. And he became our sacrifice on our behalf. And so let's pray together. Thank God for the sacrifice that he gave. Jesus, thank you so much for the shed blood, your blood, on the cross. And that through your sacrifice, you have now made it that we can be boldly approach the throne of grace. That we have grace in our time of need. And that we have a high priest who understands everything that we're going through. And so we are overwhelmed and grateful for all that you have done. And as we drink together, it is with thanksgiving for all that you have done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink together. We want to conclude the service by singing together, "Here I Am," to worship.
Light of the world, you step down into the
Thank you so much for being a part of our online service today. And just a reminder of our special events that are coming up, the Living Nativity on December 19th and 20th, and our candlelight service taking place on Christmas Eve. You can register for those events by going to our webpage, which is calendarbaychurch.ca. And that way you can get the times that you wish to come to those services. Again, pray that you have a great week, that God would bless you and encourage you, and enjoy a time of conversation together as the service concludes. And let's encourage one another and remember that Jesus brings us into a relationship with Him where we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Have a great week.